Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwall. Landon, how are we doing this week?
Jim, doing well. We are 1 week closer to Penn State football, so I'm itching. I'm ready to go. I'm excited.
Well, we had media day last week, which that's always that indicator that they're getting close, Landon.
It was, and I do actually, now that you bring that up, I want to mention this, that there's a lot of pictures, and if you go to the Penn State Instagram account, you'll be able to see all this and scroll down a little bit. But my favorite thing about it is Jalen Reed and Devon Elise wearing these really nice outfits. They were probably wearing, you know, I don't want to get into it, but some nice clothes that they liked a lot when they were getting on the private jet. Well, look at the photo. Tyler Warren, when he gets on the private jet, is in flip-flops, shorts, and team-issued T-shirt. So I'm just saying that to say, I just want to shout out Tyler Warren because he's always just the same dude all the time, off the field, just doesn't really care, low maintenance, you know, just wants to just chill, have a good time, gets on the field, and he's Psycho T, that's his nickname we call him, and just completely becomes a different person. But I just had to shout out just his nonchalantness and his ability to just not care what people think. Dude was just had the dogs out, had the toes out on a private jet, didn't care at all. I asked him about it, and he said, well, they told me to dress, you know, just dress casual. So I did. He said the other guys dressed up a little bit, but I was just, you know, I wanted to be comfortable, so I wore what I normally wear.
He did what he was told. I was going to ask, is this an indication of who the guy is? Apparently, that is the case.
It is. And then the other thing I noticed, too, I think him and Coach Franklin were matching their suits. He asked Coach Franklin for his tailor for his suit for Media Day. If you go and look, Tyler and James had this. I think they had the same exact suit on. I guess he admires his coach's swagger that he has. Which, James, he does. He gets on the bus every morning. When we see him at the beginning when we come down for breakfast on, now I'm talking games, on Saturdays, he wouldn't be in his suit, and we're all eating breakfast, and then we kind of, right after breakfast, we go over to watch the hype video, and we watch a 4-minute hype video, and then we go down to the buses. Well, he's already down in the buses, but while we're eating, he's changing into his suit. So every time, you know, we don't see him, we just see him in some normal clothes, and then he just, like, pops into a suit, and he throws his little shades on, and we're like, all right, coach. And, you know, give us a little smile before the game. But, yeah, so definitely he's always fly. Got to give a shout-out to Coach Franklin, always looking good.
He shows a little bit of flash there with the suits. You got to like that, especially the guy like Tyler Warren who never does it. When he does, it's a good look, right?
It is. And just completely off basis right here, I'm predicting over 10 touchdowns. Tyler Warren's going to have double-digit touchdowns this year. I just had to put that out there, Jim. I wanted to make that statement. I'm calling this on live air right now. Tyler Warren will have double-digit touchdowns. I think maybe closer to 12. I just think it's going to be insane. He's going to be Drew Aller's safety blanket. I'm excited for that guy. I think a lot of NFL teams are excited about him too.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be a monster season for him. They're going to – Andy Kotelnicki will love having him there. But write down that prediction, Landon, because before the season starts, we're going to have our bold prediction show, okay? So
can't wait.
You can have that down. That is a fun show. And you're up against – here's the competition, just to let you know ahead of time, because you're our newbie, okay? Andy Shea and I, we've been doing this for about 8 years, okay? And Andy, with his bold predictions, he either – has the worst bold prediction, like, I think Nick Singleton will run the ball, you know, something so ridiculous and easy. Or he'll do something like, I think Nick Singleton will have a return for a touchdown. Or actually, the one game, he predicted somebody with an 80-yard reception. 80 yards! Turned out the guy, like, in the first series had a 75-yard reception.
Seriously?
Yes. So it's like he has these bold predictions that are crazy, and some of them come up. I swear to God, Landon, when that play happened, they didn't even snap the ball again, and I had already gotten a text from Andy. See? I told you.
Like he knew the game plan.
Yes. Oh, yes. My God. Exactly. So just to tell you, when it comes time for bold predictions, you got a lot of competition, my friend. So you better come prepared.
I'm going to come prepared. If anybody listening remembers NFL game day when it was like Michael Irving, Warren Sapp, all those, I mean, that was like the best, Steve Mariucci, all those guys. And they always did bold predictions. And that was like my favorite because they would say the wildest stuff, you know, it never really came true, but it's always fun to think about. I'm excited to kind of get to partake in that tradition.
All right. Well, the heat will be on you when it comes now. All right. Let's first of all, Landon, we got to clean up our mess. Okay. And I'm assuming if you listen to our show together on Keystone Kickoff, you also listen to our show, Landon and Jim versus the world. And it took all of, a couple nanoseconds before some of our listeners sent us information that we were wrong. And it was on one of your bold facts, your bold stat of the week.
Stat of the week, yep.
And I'm mad at myself, Landon. I should have known better. Should have corrected you.
Jim, I do actually blame you because you were still alive then. So you know what? My dad was barely alive then. So I guess I can't take too much blame, but I guess this is my first time actually as a journalist, having to get called out. And I admit I was wrong. I gave the stat. I believe I said it since 1988 that there had been a Clinton, a Biden,
Bush
or a Bush on one side of the ticket, whether it's VP or president, all the way up until now, from 1988 till now. Well, it turns out that goes all the way back till 1980 because Bush Sr. was on Reagan's ticket.
Yes. And I said, I should have known because very familiar. I was in college in 1981. Okay. And 1980 I think I made reference to it one time. I was in college when Reagan was shot. It was obvious Bush Sr. was his vice presidential nominee. And I think Bush Sr. actually ran in the Republican primary, and he made an appearance at Penn State that year. And I actually shook his hand as a college student. Yes.
Nice, Tim. Well, I think I've told this before. I went to go visit Spider, who was the equipment manager for 30 years, and I'm actually going to put out a video about this in the near future here in August. And he showed his whole office. And let me just tell you, first off, I mean, the items in his office probably worth over $2 million because he has Joe's last shoes that Joe wore. Those alone probably go for a dumb amount, but, you know, just has everything in there. And he has two photos, one of when Reagan came to visit and one when Bush came to visit. So it's pretty cool. Both of those guys came to want to talk to Joe Pa. I think that says something for sure. But to my point of my fun fact, it still stands that it's insane. It's even more insane. We go back from, so basically 1980 until, 2020, the same people are on the ticket, same families are on the ticket. I don't know, Jim, it sounds a little interesting to me. But my point still stands. I was proven wrong. I appreciate the correction, guys.
And the fact is, Landon, that it's – and we're getting off track here, but this country, yes, there are political families that are in power. And we mentioned, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, and Harrison, grandfather, grandson, who were both presidents. So the Roosevelt's what got us into the whole inbreeding incest discussion, okay?
I mean, Jim, if someone hasn't listened to the last episode, they're just going to hear you say inbreeding and incest. They don't even know what's going on. A quick, swift recap. We talked about, basically all the presidents having, family members that are then leading. We talked about, a lot of nepotism things that somehow led us into the conversation of, not really sure how, but cousins. It have to do with FDR, right?
Yes. Talking about cousins. FDR actually married his fifth cousin.
That's what started it. There you go.
Yeah, that's how we got there because it was, FDR is related to Teddy Roosevelt. They were both presidents, and Eleanor Roosevelt was actually a Roosevelt before she married FDR. So we did talk about inbreeding and incest, and I got a quote. One of our listeners sent me a note afterwards. He said, Jim, per your conversation with Landon about inbreeding, gee, I didn't realize you were going to be doing an early West Virginia preview, which is a hilarious line. if we get in trouble for it, it wasn't my line. I'm just quoting Chris, who's one of our listeners. Chris, when I first met him, lived in State College. He's now down in the Carolinas. And I did talk to him about it, say I was going to give him credit for the quote. He welcomed it. So, Chris, a very funny line, one I wish I would have thought of, but I will give you credit for that. And if there's any listeners out there from West Virginia, please do not be offended, okay? And it wasn't us.
It wasn't us. But I will tell you, guys, I love whenever Jim sends me any comments you guys left, I loved it. So please leave more comments or you have anything to say or just want to make fun of us. I even like hearing about that. So please feel free to leave any comments.
Well, I do like, we just received the other day, and I think I sent it to you, someone sent a note. They think we're very funny. I hope that's at the moments when we tell jokes and not when we're trying to be serious. So anyway, now that we got through pretty much most of the first quarter, let's talk about what we're supposed to, Landon. And I'm not even exactly sure why, but we got a major update on this, the lawsuit and the settlement between, it's called the House versus NCAA. And they put, instead of it going to court, and there was multiple of these, they put it all together. They negotiated a settlement. We're waiting on the final word, but I guess they came out with some more details of the agreement. And as we approach the end of the segment, we'll get into a really deep come quarter two. But do you know who House is, Landon? It's House versus NCAA?
House? No, I do not know who House is.
It's actually a guy by the name of Grant House. He went to Arizona State. He's a swimmer, but he's apparently an Olympic quality swimmer. So if you weren't in college, a lot of how these guys finance their Olympic training and so on is through endorsements. But because he was a collegiate athlete, he wasn't allowed to do that, Landon. So he was specifically harmed by this rule by the NCAA.
When you put it in perspective of how much of a grasp the NCAA had over us athletes, I mean, it was actually ridiculous, the things they were saying you can't do. And I was talking to Goon real quick about this, and he was saying back in the day, they weren't even allowed to have a nutrition bar, Jim. They couldn't even have nuts and snacks. That was illegal. You know, you can't feed them. You're not allowed to do it. NCAA can burn for all I care. They deserve everything they're getting. That's what I got to say, but we'll get into this next quarter.
Well, believe it or not, I was not a collegiate athlete, Landon. However, I agree with you. Burn it down. Okay. Start all over again. That's it for quarter one. We're going to talk more about the agreement when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He is Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante, and our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. That's the place to go. You're in the market for a brand new Honda. Trust me, I went out of my way. I'm 90 miles from State College, Landon. I made the trip to State College. I got the best deal. I had the best buying experience. Everything was fantastic. They took care of me. And I drive a brand new, wonderful Honda CR-V. And they've got some great deals going on now with the Ridgeline, with rates as low as 1.9%. Great lease offers. They also have a great selection of used Hondas, Honda certified. Check them out. West College Avenue is where their showroom is in State College, or online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. All right.
Well, Jim, real quick, I got to stop you. I didn't even tell you off air while we were chatting. I'm in talks with my dad of, you know, trying to get him to take my car off my hands so I can come over to Bobby Rail Honda and get me the truck. Because I'm jealous because shout out Nick Dawkins. He just got himself a nice truck. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, you know what? That's it. I saw that the other day. He was, you know, I called him and he called me on FaceTime and showed me his new truck. I'm like, that tears it, man. I got to get rid of my car. It's time for a truck. So we joke about it, but this is real. I in the next 2 months, I plan to be driving the Ridgeline. That's what I'm calling you right now.
I'm hoping in the next month, Landy. So you have it. We've got a couple tailgates we're getting ready for, which I love tailgating as much or more than the games themselves. Okay. And we've got a couple of those set up for September. Landon, should we do something like, you know, maybe do a contest or something to invite our listeners, see if maybe they could join us, a couple of them?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do something fun. We're going to get some invites out there. We'll have a good time. Jim will have some type of alcohol or something. We'll have it. Not supplied by me, you know. Hey, I'm technically.
Alcohol?
Yeah, I don't do it. What is that? I don't do that.
You're right, though. I'll make sure we do that, Landon. All right. Let's get into it. We're starting to talk about this settlement in the House versus NCAA, the settlement. And there is a lot going on, Landon. The first up, which is what is usually the headline, is the NCAA and their member schools are going to be responsible for paying out $2.78 billion over the next 10 years to former players. That's a crazy number.
It is. I guess I'm in there somewhere. So hopefully I'll let you know what that check says. It's probably not too much. As much as that sounds like an insane number, when you start to split that up between, you know, every single sport, every single athlete, probably get a $2 check. But, you know, hey, no, I'm sure it comes out to something better than that. I'm sure you have the number on it, Jim.
I read a note that said most men's basketball and football players will get about $135,000.
Are you serious?
I don't know if it's right or not, but that Jim, was one sort. I didn't confirm it, Landon, but.
Jim, you're telling me something that I'll jump up and down for. I ain't made that much in my life either. Well, you know, we can only hope for my sake, guys. Let's pull for that.
You're covering our next lunch together.
Yeah, clearly. If that goes through, Jim, I'll take care of the lunches for a little while. That'd be a fun check to get.
Well, and I don't know if, you know, how much they're spreading it out over the 10 years and who gets the payments when and how it's going to work out. But as much as that might be very good for you, and I hope it is, there are still repercussions to this, Landon, that are going to very much change the whole landscape of college athletics. Let's start with this. There's going to be about $21 or $22 million, and we always have to say about that because it's a certain percentage of revenue that is brought in that they're going to establish that percentage, and I believe as like TV contracts change, that number will change. So there's going to be in a specific school, like say Penn State, they're going to have the ability to directly pay their student athletes up to $22 million in a school year.
Yeah, and I've said this before, I think that's going to completely – I think the ability to have this revenue sharing is going to help Penn State more than any other school just because we have struggled in NIL as far as for where we are in the rankings, you know, being – let's just – you know, let's call it – we're a top 10 team, you know, maybe top 12 right in there. I think we're probably the worst NIL of the top 12 teams in the country, Jim. I'm just – you know, I don't know that for a fact, but just kind of knowing the things that, you know, we've known have went on and – you know, definitely struggled in NIL. It just doesn't correlate at all. We've heard what Ohio State's doing. We've heard what Georgia's doing. Georgia needs to find a grip on that anyways, though, because their players are having a little too much fun with their NIL cars, but that's a whole different story. But no, I really do think the revenue sharing is going to benefit us the most out of anybody, the ability to have, you know, $20 million. And I would guess, you know, there has been a lot of talk about where that money is going to go. You know, Title IX, does, you know, women's volleyball have to see some of that? How's that going to work? It sounds like they're going to finagle it, Jim, to the point where, you know, like the settlement, basketball and football are going to see that the majority of that money. So I think it'll really help out and it'll allow things to be a little bit more regulated. I don't know what that does to NIL. I think NIL is definitely still around. I don't know if it's still as significant and, you know, guys are still really getting paid out by that, or do you more sculpt the salary that your players are earning from that revenue sharing? So I think, or is that combined together to pay the players, the NIL and the revenue sharing? So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but either way, getting, $22 million pumped into your program, Jim, is definitely a good thing, how I see it, at least. I know some fans aren't super big on that going down and guys, essentially becoming millionaires in college, but it's kind of what we have to do now, and it's going to even out the playing fields a little bit because Georgia's been paying their players that much for 20 years now, 40 years now. So now we get a good opportunity to do it, Jim.
Well, I'm going to give you the fan perspective. Okay, you gave it from the player perspective. And I think, obviously, as a player, hey, you're going to say players getting paid is a good thing. I'm going to say the same thing as a fan. But here's the but, though, and I think this is what a lot of Penn State fans, and they're not alone. A lot of other schools are running into the same issue with NIL. I already pay a lot of money to the school for my tickets, for parking, for traveling, for hotel, for food, for the tailgating. This is essentially my vacation every year is, long weekends for college football. So I'm already putting out a lot of money. And you, the university, you're bringing in billions with a B, okay? And so for NIL, you're saying, well, gee, Jim, it's your fault our team's not playing well.
Well,
every single time James Franklin, who makes $8 million a year, starts asking the everyday fans to give money, how do you think those everyday fans feel about that, Landon?
Yeah, well, I think to add to your point is it's already a problem, and you're right. This is not exclusively a Penn State problem. We've heard about it from everywhere, fans being asked for money, and they feel, hey, we don't really have it. Now, not to put, Michigan above us at all, but, Ann Arbor, Michigan, it's a little bit more, that's kind of a snooty place. It's very wealthy. We're in the middle of PA. This is grit. We are gritty out here, Jim. That is our, that is our identity. You go up to those little fruity schools up there and they, have a bunch of money and all live on lakes and stuff and they got money. But to your point though, I really do feel like when the revenue share is coming and now the fans say, hey, the football team's getting, let's call it $18 million for their players. You're telling me now they're getting 18. Not only, are they getting $18 million, but you still want to ask us for money? What is that? Each player's getting X, Y, they're all making more than me. And I think that's the problem where we get where it's like NFL teams, it's okay. CeeDee Lamb is asking for, $40 million a year. Well, that's all right. 'Cause Jerry Jones is paying his contract, not the Cowboys fans. But when, a player coming in is asking for that money and the fans have to fund it, it's like, okay, you want all these fans that are making, under $100,000. And let's just call a spade this day and age, Jim. If you're not making $120,000, I mean, it's hard to live at this point. I mean, it's not easy living. It's hard to live freely unless you're making a ton of money. So now you're asking a bunch of people that these guys are making more money than them. And hey, give them more money out of your paycheck. That job you go to 9 to 5, you drive in 45 minutes. Now, more money to our defensive end, more money to our middle linebacker, please. Thank you. I understand from a player's perspective, obviously, I want all our guys to get paid, but I can see why that is, really disheartening and not something that the fans are too excited about getting into, because that doesn't really get me too excited if I'm a fan from that perspective, hearing that.
And remember, they're already giving money for everything, the tickets and travel and so on, like I mentioned earlier. So you understand that. So now, the question becomes, as you pointed out, Ohio State is, I think the number they said, like $20 million was going to players in NIL. Well, there's also more going on with this, and I'm curious of what your take on this is, Landon, that apparently they're going to monitor then the NIL stuff with the goal to make it that, hey, I can't just as a big donor hand over $1 million to a player to attend the school. They're going to examine it for anything above $600 has to be reported and could potentially be investigated. Is there any chance that's going to work?
Yeah, and I'll give you the quote right here that I see. It says, boosters are prohibited from entering into NIL deals with athletes unless they can prove the agreements are genuine with rates that align with similar situated individuals with comparable NIL value. That's the quote. I don't really even know what that, I mean, I do know, I get what he's saying essentially. You know, if you're Nick Singleton, you should be getting something close to, you know, Travion Henderson at Ohio State. You know, Travion can't be getting $500,000 and, you know, Nick getting $100,000. I guess that's kind of, you know, that's, it's saying that's, they're valued similar. I guess that's how I see it, because it's talking about similar situated individuals with the similar NIL value. So I don't.
Well, I get the feeling it's about like some of the Heisman Trophy winners, you know, like Caleb Williams, whatever, Bryce Young, would do an ad for Nissan for their Heisman house. Mm. That makes sense, okay? There's a tie-in. They're doing a national ad. So, like, if it were – I think it means if an NFL player would do that, like an old-time, you know, no longer a college player but a Heisman winner, what would he get paid to do that kind of ad? And that's what I believe NIL was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be – hey, Landon, I'm going to give you X dollars if you come to Penn State. And that's obviously what it turned into. Yeah. Now, the question is, if as soon as that gets challenged in court, is it going to be shot down like everything else the NCAA has done?
Yes.
And I'm going to, yeah, we'll get into it more. I just noticed we're running out of time for this segment, but we will talk about it more when we come back right after this short break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante. It is quarter number three. And Landon, we were talking about this settlement that the NCAA has made where it's going to end up with players being compensated. And we're all in agreement that the schools will have up to $22 million that they could distribute to their student athletes. And we're going to talk about that more, about how they distribute it. But the other part to this, what we were talking about, was the NCAA said they're going to have to, by the way, voluntarily report any compensation that's over $600. And the question is, could they – they want to eliminate the pay-to-play, where can I give X dollars, can I give $100,000 to a player to come to Penn State to play? And they're trying to rule that. And we're questioning whether if this goes to court, it will hold up. But I think it's also part of why the NCAA, they're doing everything, but in fact, they are. They're begging the government to step in and put rules into place, Landon.
Yeah, and I think from what we're talking about, this is going to be really difficult to enforce. And that's already kind of a thing. Like, schools are supposed to somewhat already report these NIL deals. And I can tell you right now, that's not happening. And not only, and you know, we're talking about pay for play, and you know, just for anybody that doesn't really understand what we're saying is, you know, when you get an NIL deal, even if that's to come to a school, which is technically illegal to be offered money to come to a school, but you know, that's all happening, of course. You know, you have to do things. So let's say when a quarterback gets, you know, $500,000 contract, it'll say in that contract he has to do, you know, 15 appearances, you know, these signings, these posts. You have to do something for it. And so what's kind of started to happen now is all these guys are just getting, you know, buku bucks, and they don't actually have to do anything. They're just getting the money and someone's checking off a box. Yeah. You know, did a couple appearances. Sure. Didn't actually happen. And now it's just getting to the point where majority of people aren't doing appearances, aren't doing postings, even the average guy, you know, even the average guy that's just getting that, you know, whatever, $2,500 NIL check each month. They're just, it's not being enforced. And I think the problem with that too, Jim, is like the whole purpose of this was to get in the community, you know, get them, have them meet people, have them have interactions, experiences, build those relationships. And it's like, when you just throw money at them, you're completely taking that all away. You're robbing them, you know, in a sense. And it's, you know, it's not the player's fault. They're not, if they're not forced to go do something, I wouldn't go do it, Jim. If I got told I can make all that money, I don't have to go to the appearances. Shit, I probably wouldn't. I'm just being honest. But, you know, that's on the NIL teams to enforce that. So, you know, I think they can actually do this? I don't think so. I think Laura's would have a field day with this. And this kind of goes back to the same thing where it's like the NCAA can't tell me how much money I can make. You know, or tell me, you know, for example, when they lost all those lawsuits in I believe it was at Tennessee and Florida, where they basically said, you know, hey, you can't meet with the NIL collectors beforehand, you know, to talk and figure out how much money you're going to make once you get here. And it's like, why not? It's like, that's a job. I mean, I know it's still technically kind of illegal in the NCAA eyes, but imagine going to a job. We've talked about this before, going to a job and them saying, hey, you're hired. And how much? You know, you'll find out once you're here. No, I won't do that. I will not start a job without knowing how much money I'm going to make. So that kind of goes back to this where it's like, you know, who are they to say that, you know, this running back can't sign this deal? And I just don't think it's going to happen. People are not going to report just any deal over $600. Because like I said, that's kind of already supposed to be a thing, Jim, I'll tell you. And it's really not regulated or kept track of. Like, you're supposed to report any deal over $600 already, I believe, to the universities, like at your specific university. That's already a rule. People don't do that.
What I'm wondering, Landon, is if the mindset will change where if it's already, and think about it, Ohio State said they're distributing $20 million to the players through NIL. And there's now going to be $20 million available that the university could compensate the players directly. So I'm wondering if there'll be donor fatigue, even at a place like Ohio State, where they're going to say, hey, wait a minute, you're already giving these kids $20 million. Do I have to contribute another million? Or perhaps it's already those mega donors. They are now just giving the money to the athletic department with the idea that it's going to reach the players through this compensation. So it might be a little easier to police it. Now, the other part to this, Landon, is this agreement has not addressed collective bargaining, which would come to the case if the players organized and became employees. I almost feel like it has to get to that point.
I think it does too, Jim. And things I've seen have talked about, you know, they're going to find ways to still not call them employees and be official employees. I don't really see how that works. I don't know if there's any loopholes with that. I'm not a lawyer, but and I just think that's the best way to go. If we get everybody on salaries and do all that, it just streamlines the process. You know, it doesn't, the fans, you know, there's not as much on the fans. There's not as much stress on local businesses, especially. Like, I feel like there's definitely being some burden put on the local businesses where it's like, you need to be doing NIL. You have to be. And, you know, in some cases, they just don't have the money for that. And they don't, you know, don't have the money to get Nick Singleton to come down and do an ad. And they're, you know, kind of being pressured into it. So it's like that type of thing. So I think everybody would be really happy if we can find some normalcy, just because it's been so crazy these past couple years with NIL being the wild, wild west. If we can lock ourselves in to a, you know, something that we know we are sure of a rule, because I will tell you, NIL has been about the most unsure thing I have ever seen in the history of anything, Jim, because I don't know what rule is what law follows where, you know, who's actually the governing body. Does the NCAA actually truly have a say? I mean, it has been quite the whirlwind. So I would be really excited, not only as a former player, but as a fan, to see this kind of get regulated.
Landon, I have a feeling, though, that there'll always be that school who will go over the top. Ohio State felt very disappointed over the last couple of years, losing to Michigan and so on. And they essentially said, we're going for it. We're putting all our, you know, eggs in this basket this year. We're putting all the money out. And everybody else Penn State, Michigan, everybody had to say, well, gee, to even compete, be competitive, we got to find NIL money. I suspect now with that, the school being allowed to legally give $20 million to student athletes, I think that will even the field a bit. You'll still have a situation where a superstar player, hey, wait a minute, you know, the standard payment to come to this school, it's $100,000. But over there, a lot of states going to give me $1 million. I'm going to go where the million is. But I don't think that will happen nearly as much. So, yes, there'll still be those elite players. Now, the other part, and I want to shift gears a little bit here, is in distributing that money, though, where does Title IX play into this? They don't know. So do you have to – could somebody say, you know what, at our school, we're just giving to the football team. We're not going to give to anybody else. How's this going to work?
Yeah, I don't – you know, from what it sounds like so far – they're going to figure out a way to work their way around Title IX, which I don't know how exactly that's possible. But, you know, it seems like the teams that bring in the revenue are going to be taken care of. But like you said, Title IX is legal and it is binding. So I don't know how they're going to find a way, you know, fully around that.
Well, Title IX, it doesn't say anywhere in the Title IX ruling that you have to pay the female athletes as much as you pay the male athletes, because no one was getting paid when Title IX came about. So now, and it also doesn't say, if you forget the differentiation male, female, just how about football versus, you know, men's golf or, you know, any other men's sport, non-revenue sport. Would you have to pay the same amount? The answer is no. Okay. You're going to use the revenue generating aspect of football and basketball to differentiate between the male sports. So could it be just a case where, hey, in Iowa, women's basketball is huge. At Oklahoma, women's softball is huge. Could it be up to the universities just to decide which sport we are going to invest our money? Penn State has wrestling.
Yeah. And I know I do think it'll be up to the universities of what, you know, what they deem the most important. And I know we're going to get into another piece of the settlement that it talks about scholarships. And there was a huge expansion. But I think a big piece of this is, you know, there is not a lot of NIL from a standpoint of, you know, just a ton of different, you know, women's volleyball, women's basketball. You know, unless you were Angel Reese or those people, you're not really seeing a significant amount of money. But my question is does this money start to go towards these scholarships, Jim? Because, you know, I know we were going to get into it, but I feel like this kind of rolls right into it, where a lot of these programs are, the cap got raised, you know, sometimes double, triple the amount of what they had before. So, like, just looking at, like, men's track, they were able to have 12.6 scholarships. They're now able to have, let's see, 45. I mean, that's pretty significant. So my question is, so now that money, it has to come from somewhere. So instead of talking about, you know, true NIL, are they asking for that money for more scholarships? Just because they added whatever it was for 35 doesn't mean they're just really accessible right there. You have to pay for those. Someone has to pay for those scholarships. So, you know, for these kind of lower level sports, from a standpoint of the revenue that they're bringing in, do they ask for that money for their scholarships now, Jim? Because like I said, you can't just jump, you know, you can't just triple the scholarship. You don't just have the funding for that all over, because every single sport got a pretty hefty increase for the most part. Outside of, actually, saw women's basketball. Interesting. I didn't even notice that. Women's basketball actually got a zero increase, Jim, on scholarships. Oh, almost. I mean, we had guys just looking down the list. I mean, there was some huge increases. I mean, women's rugby, they got 53 extra scholarships, Jim. I mean, do you think women's rugby has the money, let's just say Penn State, to just fund 53 extra scholarships? No, they absolutely don't. So that's what I mean, where, you know, maybe they're saying, hey, you know, allow us to have more scholarship money. I don't know how much they really need for NIL. You know, how much does Penn State women's softball, are they really going to see NIL money? Probably not. But what would be more beneficial to them is, hey, now we can have every single player on our roster under scholarship. Now that's beneficial. You know, is that where the money would go instead of NIL? Because it's just such a different world in football for these other sports.
And Landon, I have several thoughts on that, and you're right. We need to address that. That may be the biggest surprise to a lot of people is this increase in scholarships, and it's also going to change football, but probably there's a good chance it's going to have even more meaning for these other sports that are going to change. And as you pointed out already, really big increase in scholarships. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number four. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. They are the place for those great deals on your Honda cars. They've got some great deals coming in this month on the 2024 Ridgeline truck. Rates as low as 1.9%. The Accord Hybrid, rates as low as 2.9%. And some great Honda-certified used cars. Great selection of inventory with some rates. Yes, as low as 0.99%. Check them out. Their showroom is on West College Avenue in State College, or you can check them out online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. All right, Landon, you brought up something that it's a huge part of this settlement is that they are going to increase the number of scholarships for a lot of sports. We got to clarify a couple things and what it means. For example, college football has always had a scholarship limit of 85. But the roster could be like 105 or so. Let's go with 105. I'm not sure exactly, but it would be filled with walk-ons. Now, they're saying, we're not going to do the scholarship limit. We're going to have a roster limit. And the roster limit in college football would go from 85 to 105. First instinct is, oh, that means these walk-on guys can get scholarships now, which would be great. What I'm wondering, too, is if it changes the game a bit, that the guys at the top, the programs at the top, your Georgias, Ohio States, Alabamas, are they going to get more really good players? They've got 20 more scholarships to give.
I do think they are, Jim. I think, there's more, four or five stars committing to these higher level schools. But I'll tell you what that also does. Now, instead of having those walk-ons that are going to stay around for 4 or 5 years, you have a bunch of guys that are competing that want to play, that truly want to play, and they feel like they should be playing. Well, none of this changes the fact that there's only 22 starters out there. So now you add another 20, high three-star, four-star guys, we're just going to see so much more action in the transfer portal. I think that's honestly what that means. Because like you said, you're going to add, football got to add 20 new scholarships. They are now, you can have 105 guys on scholarship on the team. And like you said, and, it sounds good. Hey, we'll give them to the walk-ons. But no, now I can take a couple extra kids in each class. Now I can bring in an extra 3 kids in each, four kids, whatever you figure out in each class. That creates more competition. That creates more people not winning a job. Like I said, there's still only 22 spots. And then people are just going to be constantly leaving. So I think that does, especially in football, invite just even more transfer portal turmoil, Jim, that I think maybe hasn't really been talked about.
I think it will balance itself out a bit. Like we see it every year. Ohio State just reloads at wide receiver, at quarterback. And Ohio State has like 5 guys on the roster at quarterback who all think they should be playing. Some of them are going to transfer. That's going to be my bold prediction, Landon. They're going to lose a couple guys. And I think that will settle. The dust will settle on that. One other thing I want to hit back on this $20 million and how it's distributed first is there are situations like we brought up. There's schools with so many sports. There's some schools with fewer sports. So if you don't have as many hands in the pot, you know, that you have to feed, I think I'm mixing some metaphors there, but, you know, the schools with fewer sports could pay the football teams even more. And I'm going to bring up one other point that I think is interesting. What about those schools who have great basketball programs but don't have football programs? What about Georgetown? What about Villanova, Marquette, Gonzaga? Hey, they now have up to $20 million, and they don't have to worry about feeding football, Landon.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And like you're, to your point earlier, I think there's certain sports that are just, you know, at certain schools are going to see, what, you know, Iowa women's basketball, like you said, is going to see significantly more than Penn State women's basketball is going to see from us. So there's that factor. And then, like you said, there is, I think, what do we have, 31, 32 varsity sports here at Penn State. You know, Alabama, Auburn, they have like 16, 17 max. I mean, I don't think people understand how much less money that is to fund all those sports. And then to your point, now all these scholarship get added, you know, Alabama's looking at this list of all these increases and they say, oh, okay, you know, we only actually have, you know, half of these as varsity sports. We can handle all these increases. No problem. We'll be able to get all the funding and all these coaches will be able to use as many scholarships as they want. Well, that's not really the case when you have, you know, 30 varsity sports to worry about. We're pretty much, we're looking at every single, you know, sport on this list and saying, hey, we got to worry about this, that, you know, so it's definitely harder for these universities that have almost double the amount of varsity sports.
Well, here's also another way to look at this, Landon, with the scholarships. You talked about like, oh, could that $20 million, you know, go towards these scholarships? The answer is no. They're at least not going to be called that. So it's like Penn State has the $22 million that they can give to players as pay. But now in a separate cost is the scholarships. So now if you look at baseball had literally 11.7 scholarships. Okay. You could actually do scholarships in fractions. You get half a scholarship, you get half. But in baseball, going from 11.7 to 34, all of a sudden, all those players who were walk-ons are now going to get a scholarship to play. So that's pretty significant. If you were a baseball player paying your own way, and all of a sudden, you're probably just happy having a scholarship. And, you know, you and I, we became a little bit closer to the softball program at Penn State, and we're both big fans of it. Well, they have a roster of, you know, at least 20-some players. They only had 12 scholarships, Landon. Mm. Now they're going to have 25. You think that doesn't mean something to the softball team?
It does, Jim. You know, I think this is really awesome for all collegiate sports. I think out of all of this, you know, even, you know, talking from a former football player who wishes he would have made a lot of money in college given the opportunity. But I think this is the biggest, as the kids say, the biggest W from this whole, the biggest success from this settlement is that all these sports are, a lot of these kids are not going to have to pay their way for school anymore. And you know, deservedly so, because I would see, and now I'm not going to say, you know, I would hear other sports talk about their practices. I'm sorry. Outside of wrestling, football is the hardest practice. I don't want to hear it. You know, I was sitting next to someone, I won't even say who, but like I was sitting next to someone from another sport and they're like, this is like 2 years ago. They're like, oh yeah, I'm really tired. Like, you know, I had to get up early and like, you know, we have practice after this. I'm like, how long's your practice? Oh, you know, an hour and a half. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm about to go to the football building and be there for the next 5 hours between, you know, having to prep for an hour, go to meetings for another hour and a half, go to practice for 3 hours, watch film, you know, but hey, you know, whatever, to each their own. But, you know, not to get it, sorry. I didn't mean to get off on a rant there. I kind of gave them all the props and then took it away from them for a second.
You did.
No, they really do. They do deserve it. That makes me really happy because I know a lot of people that play a high-level collegiate sport that have to pay their freight, and that's, I really don't think that's fair. My question looking at this list, Jim, equestrian, women's equestrian, it's 15 scholarships of the old limit. They added 35. Do we even have 50 horses around here, Jim? I mean, that's just to my point, though. I think a lot of these scholarships will be, you know, not of use. I think the NCAA wanted to almost give too much. You know, I don't think, and now, you know, in football and basketball, they're going to use every single scholarship, no doubt. But I think in a lot of these sports, I really don't know if they're going to be able to fill every single scholarship they got allowed to fill.
Well, Landon, here, I think the point to it, though, is like we pointed out, different schools have different areas that they're concerned about.
Good point.
There's on my list, there's something called stunt I don't know what the heck that even means.
It's similar to cheer, I believe, Jim.
Get out of town, really?
Yep, yep. That would be, you know, that would be that. So you added 51. That was actually, was that the biggest one? That was the second. That was the second biggest increase of scholarships was Stunt, adding 51 scholarships. They went from 14 scholarships total to 65 scholarships. I don't think we have a Stunt team here, Jim, but I don't think Penn State could afford to pay 65, you know, basically cheerleading scholarships.
And you don't think the cheerleading squad works as hard as the football team landed?
You know, I'm going to give a no comment on that one, Jim. They work hard cheering us on every single day, Jim. So, you know, I'll say, hey, it's even.
But I think what it does, Landon, is there are certain sports that are more important at different schools. Wrestling is very important at Penn State. It's not. So it gives Penn State the opportunity to give a lot of – wrestling went from 10 to 30 scholarships. I'm sorry, I was reading the women's – well, men's wrestling went essentially the same. It was 9.9 scholarships up to 30. So at Penn State, that's important, and maybe they will use the scholarships here. But there are other sports more important at other schools, so that's where it will go. But it gives the schools the opportunity to say, you know what, this is important to us. I think you're right. In college football, they'll use up the 105. In basketball, they'll use men's basketball went from 13 to 15. So it's just, hey, you know, those last couple walk-ons, they will get scholarships, which I think is great. So I'm happy with this one. Anytime a student athlete gets an opportunity to have their schooling paid for, I think it's a good thing. You know, just I'll give you the last word, but my last thought on it is overall, Landon, I like what's going on here. It gives an avenue for the universities, which are cashing the huge checks. You know, they're getting tens and tens of millions of dollars for television contracts and all. Let them then be the responsibility to share that with the students. You've got a minute and a half to wrap it up.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I think, like you said, you summed it up well. But the total increase, just for anybody, the total increase of scholarships as a whole was 752.2 scholarships across collegiate athletics. So like I said, I just think that's really exciting. It's good for athletics. And we've talked about, you know, football players and really just football and basketball players not getting their due, not getting their pay, you know, all these big time names, Reggie Bush, how much money they could have made. And then, you know, you talk about but you don't think about the flip side of, you know, the golfer who's really good and they just don't have the money to, you know, he's paying his way through school and he's an elite golfer. Like he's one of the top guys in his sport, but hey, you know, we only have two scholarships or something like that. So you got to pay your way through the sport. And just because, you know, they weren't built for football or basketball and they're really good at something else, you know, obviously people don't care as much about those sports, so there is that piece. I mean, I understand that, but it's cool now that people that are good at their sports are going to be rewarded. It seems like if you're at all, you know, decent on a collegiate sports team, you're probably going to be on scholarship now, which is, I just think it's really exciting. It's a really great opportunity, and now the schools have the ability to help these athletes out a little bit more. And these, you know, these athletes that are, like I said, excluding football and baseball, I mean, excuse me, football and basketball, allow them to have some relief, take that stress off of them of having to work and pay their way through school.
I agree, Landon. That is it for our show. Thanks for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.